right. Praise God and welcome to Eve's Corner. Thank you all so much for joining me on today. I especially appreciate my faithful guest who hang in there with me. I know that a couple of weeks ago, we did a recorded show. I had to be away for a funeral, so hopefully you all were able to enjoy being able to hear one of the shows that you may have missed or one that you might have needed reiterated. So in the meantime, again, welcome today. It looks like it's a nice day outside. The weather is shining. The sun is shining. The weather is nice. And I pray that all of you are doing well. Eve's show is a show of enlightenment, encouragement, and empowerment to the people of God. So we pray that this show is definitely a blessing to you. The show for today, our topic is how to come back from a setback. You know, we know that, you know, sometimes in life things happen. We go through things. We have to deal with things. But we want to talk about, you know, how it is that you come back from those things, how you bounce back, how you recover, you know, talk about some of the ways that God restores us, and some of the things that we do in the meantime, in the process, you know, as we're going through this restoration period, because there is a way to go through. You know, the objective, of course, is not just to go through and continue to go through and have to deal with negative things, but we have to know how to deal with it as people of God. So again, welcome. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. Thank you, God, for watching over us. And thank you, Lord, for keeping us through our trials and tribulations. God, we just pray now, God, that this word is an encouragement to the hearts of your people on today, Lord. Lift up those who may be down on today, God. Encourage their hearts. God, enlighten, encourage, and empower your people on today. Move by your spirit, God. I pray that you speak to me and through me. God, I thank you for all that you have done in me, God, from a physical standpoint as well as a spiritual standpoint, God. Thank you for lifting me up, God. And thank you, God, for your people who are listening online today. God, bless them in a special way. In the name of Jesus, we ask these blessings and we thank you in advance. Amen. So again, you know, we all go through some things. You know, I just want to say that on this week, for myself, in fact, I had to go through dealing with a physical issue. And I had to have an outpatient surgery on yesterday. So forgive me if I'm moving a little bit slow today. I'm a little bit limited. I had some surgery done on my left eye. But I am healed in Jesus' name. And I even contemplated, you know, on today, you know, Lord, what do I do about the show? You know, but the Lord reminded me that he's able. And the song comes to mind. God is able to do just what he said he would do, you know, because this show was never about me. It's always about what thus said the Lord. It's always about going forth according to the word of God and in doing what God has called me to do. He told me to just trust him. And so that's where I am today. And I encourage you all today, you know, sometimes when you can't literally see your way through, you know, I praise God because not only is he a healer, but I know that he is my strong tower. He is my deliverer. He is the lifter of my head. He is my shield, my fortress, my buckler, you know, and in him, I know that I can trust. But I will ask that you all, you know, call in on today. Call in and let's talk about this subject. Let's talk about coming back from setbacks. I know there may be some of you, you know, who've had your own personal setbacks and your life is a living testimony to other people. You know, you never know who may be watching you, who may be paying attention, you know, to how you go about going through. But believe me, they are watching. And it's something that I know that we talk about all the time. You know, people don't necessarily go by what you say, but they definitely pay attention to what you do. So I'll just ask that you guys call in today. Again, as a reminder, that number is 888-627-6008. Again, if you want to call in the chat, that number is 888-627-6008. So, as I stated before, you know, we all go through something. We all deal with something. Whether you are personally trying to make a comeback in your finances, you know, maybe you're divorced and you want to get married again, but you also need to know how to heal and how to recover just from the divorce itself. Maybe some of you are dealing with death in the family, death of a loved one, death of a spouse, even. You know, there is a way that God heals us and touches us even in that time of mourning, according to His word. So if you're trying to make a comeback in your career, you know, maybe somebody out there lost their job or you know, got laid off, or, you know, you're just not working right now. You really can't just find your niche in your career. Maybe you have some issues with your children, you know, and you're waiting on God to restore you in those areas, whatever it may be. You know, just know that you're not alone. Know that, you know, whatever it is that you went through, it's just a setback. It's a temporary situation, but you have to take some action in order to have your comeback. You know, God is definitely in the business of resurrection. You know, if Jesus raised Lazarus and if Jesus himself got up from the grave in 3 days, you know that he's in the business of resurrection. So he can resurrect your finances and he can resurrect your joy, your love, your peace. He can resurrect you from divorce, where you can get married again and you're able to love somebody again and to trust somebody again. He is definitely in the business of resurrection. He is a restorer, not just of your things like he did with Job, but he also restores the time. The Bible said that God also restores the years that were eaten up. You know, this is definitely not a mission impossible, you know, and there are some lessons, you know, that we gain when we're down in the valley. No matter how big a mess that you might have made, whether it's your fault or whether somebody else did something to you, you know, you have to get over it and you still have to go forth. God has already prepared that comeback for you, but there are some things that you personally need to do. So today we're going to be coming from a very familiar passage of scripture. And I chose this verse for that reason, because everybody knows it. It's Psalm number 23. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there with me. We're going to go to the 23rd number of Psalms, 23rd division of Psalms. And if you will, I am going to be reading from the NIV version on today. What I hope that we're able to gain is some strategies and some insight and then some motivation for you to come back from your setback. You know, again, everybody goes through something. There are some things that are required in order for you to do that. So those are some of the things that we're going to talk about today. So hopefully you're with me. You would turn in your Bibles again to Psalm number 23. I'm trying to pause and give everybody an opportunity to grab their Bibles and get there. So we're going to begin at the first verse. And the Bible reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to his hearers, readers, and doers of his most holy word. So first and foremost, most of us know that this is a Psalm of David. And we know that David went through several things, but we also know that David was a worshiper. We knew that David knew how to go back to God, no matter how he messes up, no matter what he does. But we know that David is a person who, you know, very often face some obstacles, and we all do. But the one thing that stands out most importantly is David is going through this psalm or this song, is he's saying these things with confidence. He's not saying maybe, you know, he uses words like surely the Lord is, not the Lord might be. He talks about God comforting him and the things that God is and continues to do. You know, it's not even used in the past tense. So it's not something that he did once and won't ever happen again. So we have to remember when we're needing to be restored, or when we're in the process of a setback, that not only is it temporary, but restoration is also something that God will and can do. He is able to do, but we have to be confident in knowing that. So the first thing, if you're taking notes, that we have to remember is faith. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by what you heard. Don't go by what other people are saying. But you truly have to have faith in who you know that God is, just as David has already done here. He already knew God to be his shepherd. And being a shepherd is something, of course, that David could relate to because he was a shepherd boy before God called him, before God anointed him to be king, you know, and it's something that he still went back to do after he was appointed and anointed, you know, so he's very familiar with what that life is and what being a shepherd is. And so when you know who God is and when you know what God has already done, you can stop and look at your temporary setback and be like, okay, you know, this is just a little process I have to deal with right now. This is my current situation, you know. But God is going to bring me out of this because he has before, because he's led and got me before. He fed me before. He provided for me before. He comforted me before. And he can and he will do it again. We have to know this with a surety. The Bible talks in the book of Hebrews, you know, also a familiar passage about faith itself. And faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. And it's the evidence of what you can't see yet. It's the evidence of what you can't see with your natural eyes. The evidence is faith itself. Everybody else may not understand, but you have to believe that you can come back from this temporary situation when nobody else does, when everybody else is talking negative, when everybody else is looking at you saying, yeah, okay, all right, sure you are. You know, you have to believe and speak faith and don't let anybody speak negatively to you because the power of life and death is in your tongue. So don't let them come to you and try to condemn what it is that you're doing or what it is that God is doing in you. Not only do you maintain your faith, but you ensure not to speak negative words concerning where it is and what stage you're in at this point. Faith is key. The other thing, if you're jotting down notes, is remember three things: purpose, the person, and the process. Now, why do you need to remember your purpose? Because sometimes, you know, when the enemy attacks, one of the first things that he will try to attack is your mind. You have to remember who you are and you have to remember whose you are. You know, don't just let the enemy, you know, come at you and try to make you forget, like, oh, well, maybe that's not what God called me to do. No, his gifts and callings are without repentance. So whatever he told you to do, you still need to be doing it. You've just had a temporary setback. If you look with me in the book of James, the first chapter, and I'll give you a moment to turn there. Staying in purpose is vital. Don't be swayed by what you're dealing with. Don't be swayed by this current situation. Don't lose your focus. And even if God has given you a vision and you have to put a picture on the wall or you have to post scriptures in your mirror or you have to put up encouraging words on sticky notes at your desk or in your office, you know, in your bathroom, on your refrigerator, whatever you need to do, don't lose sight of the vision that he's given you. Your purpose is still the same. God has called you to do something. God has placed you in the earth for a reason. And there is something that you need to do. So you have to be encouraged to do it. So now if you're with me in the book of James, the first chapter, we're going to start at the second verse. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So there's something that has to come out of this. There's something that you're going to gain while you're going through this process. And that's what we have to be aware of. Okay, Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to get from this? What am I supposed to learn in this? Even if it's just increasing your faith, there is something that you're supposed to get while you're in the process of this temporary setback. Verse 4 goes on to say, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. A lot of times we try to get out of stuff. You know, when we're going through, you know, these trials and tribulations, we try to call somebody, you know, because we need somebody to help us, you know, whether it's a legal situation, whether it's a financial situation. Sometimes it's not always best, you know, to try to go to other people to get you out. Sometimes if you just stay in the midst of that thing and learn how to do some things different, learn how to clip coupons, learn how to cut costs, learn how to quit driving around all the time, wasting gas where you have to go back and put more gas in the car. You know, there's some wisdom that you may be supposed to gain from this situation. Everything is not because the enemy attacked you. Some stuff is because you made some bad decisions. But in that, you learn how to do things better. You learn how to move forward, not condemning yourself, but just learning how to move forward and do things differently. And the Bible goes on in the fifth verse and says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So you have to believe God when you ask him to do things for you. But you have to know if you need some wisdom in that area, he'll definitely give it to you. But know that you stay in your purpose, because there is something that you're supposed to gain. Don't lose that focus. The other thing is that, you know, sometimes people do come after you. Sometimes things, you know, do come after you. And sometimes it really is the enemy, you know, that's attacking you and trying to get you off track from what God is calling you to do. And sometimes he'll attack you through other people, especially people that are close to you, because they're the only ones that can get to you. People that you don't know don't really bother you. You're not thinking about them anyway. But people that you know, sometimes the enemy will use. They don't realize it. They don't mean harm. But a lot of times people that you do know will come at you in the wrong way or say things, you know, that are wrong or negative. Not that they're out to get you, but just because the enemy is using them to get to you, because what he wants to do is throw you off track from your purpose. What he wants to do is get you out of line with what it is that God has called you to do and that he's saying for you to do, or that he needs you to do in the earth. Because remember, he needs bodies. He needs people that he can use. Your job is supposed to be ministering unto those that are lost. And it doesn't mean ministering that everybody's supposed to be in the pulpit preaching. But it means ministering or administering or serving other people so that they come into the knowledge of Christ. That's what that's all about. You stay in purpose, on purpose. Don't let the enemy, don't let friends, don't even let family members get to you to the point to where, because I'm under this attack now, I may as well just sit down, because I'm going through this thing now. You know, I don't need to be up before people. But you use this attack as an opportunity to grow. Use this attack as an opportunity to build your faith. Because as we read, going through these trials builds your perseverance. It enhances your character. You become stronger. You become wiser. And it's definitely an increase of your faith, because once you can come out of this thing and then look back and say, wow, God really did come through. God really did bring me out of that. God really did move. God really did touch. However he does it, you know that it was God that did it. So you've grown from that. You've gotten just a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser. When you can just look back and say, okay, God, I know you've got this. You did it before. I know you're going to do it again. Then the other portion of that is the process. You know, like I said, sometimes we don't like to go through, you know, sometimes we want to come out of the fire. I think about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or their slave names. But the thing about them is when they got thrown into the fiery furnace, a lot of old preachers used to say, oh, and God took the heat out of the fire. No, God didn't take the heat out of the fire. You know he didn't take the heat out of the fire, because the people who were throwing them in ended up getting burned themselves. They ended up falling in and dying. So now think about it. Could God have taken the heat out of the fire? No, God just blessed them in it. And that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to bless you even in the midst of your fiery trial. He wants to bless you even in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. You don't need to come out of it. You need to stay in there so that it's a witness. Because the one thing that happened in that passage of scripture with the three Hebrew boys is that when they look back in there, they threw in three people who were bound. But what happened is while they were in that fire, they were loosed. And the Lord was in there with them. When they looked back in there, they saw four men loosed. And that is key. You might go in bound. It might upset you at first. Sometimes some things come and they do shake us a little bit. Some things are just a little bit harder than others to deal with initially. But when you look at the big picture and see God even in the midst of your trial, see God even in the midst of your situation, God will definitely set you free in the process and build you up. And you'll be a witness to others of who God really is and how God really has blessed, how God really can move. For those who didn't know before, they'll know once they see you coming out of this process. They'll know once they see you coming out praising God and giving God all glory. Because, you know, in essence, it's really not about us. It's not about you. Some of us do have this issue with me-ism. You know, I ain't saying you're selfish, but I'm saying sometimes you focus on me just a little bit too much, you know, and that's an issue for us. You know, sometimes we're not even seeing, okay, what is God doing in this situation? We just know that we're uncomfortable. We just know that we don't like it. We just know that this doesn't feel good to us right now. And we start focusing on me. You know, look what they did to me. Look how they treated me. I didn't do nothing to them, but they're treating me bad. No, you just trust God. The word already told you, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. So you already know God is going to deal with them. You don't have to seek any level of revenge, but it's not about you. This is always about God. Stop focusing on me. Stop focusing on how I feel. Stop and look at the situation sometimes and say, okay, God, what do you want to do through me in this situation for your people? But no, sometimes it's just about me. Well, I this and I that. It's not about you. It's not about you. The other part of this is holding on to the promises of God. While you are in this fiery trial, just like with the Hebrew boys, every time they asked them to bow down to an idol, they said no. Mm-mm. Because they knew the Lord. They already had a relationship with God. They had already seen and understood the move of God. And that's where some of you are. So therefore, you have to hold on to those promises. Don't bow down to idols. I know that this week, for instance, a musical icon passed away. And some of y'all may be mad at me about this, you know, and that's fine too. But, you know, I will say that Prince is a very popular artist, but he's still a man. And the Bible says that all have to come into the knowledge. We all have to bow down and come into the knowledge of Christ. So we don't have time to be worshiping other people. You know, we pray for the family. We pray for those, you know, who may be affected by his death, but he's a man. So we want to be very careful when we start liking people and liking their music. You know, I've seen all this week, you know, even when I was, I went over to get a massage this week, and one of the young ladies who works there was in another room crying when she heard about it. She couldn't even do her job because she's in a room crying about this man that didn't know her and she didn't know. You know, it is a sad situation, but sometimes we have to remember, now, wait a minute, I'm spending more time crying over this person than I did in repenting and crying out to God and calling on God. You know, am I spending more time thinking about this person than I've been in my word this week? Am I spending more time going back and remembering, oh yeah, I remember his songs. I remember this. I remember that. I remember when he did this, and ooh, I saw him here and I saw him there. You know, some of us have talked more about this individual this week than we have about Jesus. That becomes idolatry. Don't let these people become your idols, because one thing is for sure, they don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. They can't save you. They didn't heal you. They didn't deliver you. So make sure that we don't focus too much as it pertains to, you know, these other people. Because the Lord said he's a jealous God and there would not be any other gods before him. So we have to remember, you know, first and foremost, you know, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all thy soul. If any part of that love and attention and affection that's supposed to be going to God ends up going to a human being, we're going to be in trouble. And I said we, because sometimes we do put other people, you know, before God, not even knowing it. But we have to come back. We have to correct that right away. You hold on to the promises of God. See, people break promises. People disappoint you. People can let you down. But you hold on to what it is that God told you. Hold on to what it is that God showed you. And I know sometimes you have to go back and revisit the promise. You know, you may have to go back and remind yourself, you know, like I said, you know, get up in the morning and say, you know, God, I thank you, you know, that you're still doing this in me. God, I thank you that you're still blessing my finances. And God, I thank you that you're still, you know, giving me wisdom and showing me, you know, how it is that I should go about my business and handle my money matters, no matter how long it takes.
Just remember that you're going to get there. You know, the scripture says that the race is not given to the swift and the battle is not given to the strong, but it's given to the one who endures. So you just hang on until the end. Now, I know some of you have some thoughts about some things that I've said, certainly by now. And again, that number is 888-627-6008. Call me at 888-627-6008. Even if you're mad at me, that's fine too. You know, I know that you have opinions about some of the things that I've said on this morning. So call and talk to me. Let's talk about, you know, how to come back from a setback. But even if you have an opinion about some of the things that I've said regarding me-ism, if you have an opinion regarding some things that I've said about idolatry, I want to hear those too. You know, we have all kinds of listeners, you know, young and old, whatever age you consider old to be. I know that when you're about six, I guess 40 is old, you know, but once you get 40, you know, old is probably 95, 103, whatever that is. We have all kinds of listeners and we have people from all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of backgrounds. And I know that there are some 20-something-year-olds who are listening, you know, who, again, might not like what I said. And that's fine, too. But call in and talk to me. You know, this is a Christian talk show, so I definitely need to hear from you all. But in the meantime, remember that, you know, when you're running a race, one thing that's for sure is you set your sights on the finish line itself. You don't focus on the other runners. You're definitely not looking back because it will cause you to trip and fall if you're not paying attention where you're going. And you're not looking down. That's one of the things that we have to remember as saints, you know, hold your head up. You don't have to walk around with your head down. You know, if you're in the process of a comeback, you know, oftentimes, you know, we're not happy, you know, but you have to find joy whether you're happy or not, because see, happiness comes from things going on around you, but joy comes from the Lord. And when you're able to get your joy back, then you're able to also have some strength, and it gives you that strength that you need to finish this race. It gives you the courage that you need to finish this race. You have to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to look unto Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So he's right there. Not only was he there at the beginning of your race, he's there with you through the valley of the shadow of death, as David said in Psalm number 23. There's a lot of things go on down there in that valley, but you have to know that God is also right there at the end. See, the thing about valleys is that they really don't last long. It doesn't look good when you're down there. It's dark, it's cold, it may be a little bit lonely. But do you know that things still grow in the valley? And they really don't grow anywhere else. There are some things that grow in a natural valley that cannot and will not grow anywhere else. Not everything grows in the valley. Everything can't survive down there. But while you're there, make sure that you're growing. Make sure that you're learning. Make sure that you're allowing God to build in you what it is that he is trying to accomplish. And don't keep fighting it, because you don't want to have to keep going through valley situations. You don't want to have to keep going around this same mountain trying to get where it is that God wants you to be. You don't want to keep going through all of that. So don't fight it, but get what you're supposed to get while you're down in there, while you're running this race. Make sure that your focus is in the right direction. You have to know that comebacks are like slaying giants. David had several obstacles, you know, and I mentioned it before. Although he was a worshiper, you know, even while he was out with the sheep, David would be worshiping God. You know, his focus was always on the Lord. David had some obstacles like giants. David had, you know, one obstacle of his height or his stature. You know, he was short. David was short. So, you know, with him being a valiant man, you know, Bible talks about him being a great warrior. You have to also know that he was short. That had to be an obstacle for him. David was young when God called him. He was inexperienced, and all the people around him, especially his family, certainly thought, oh, no, it can't be you. You can't be the one who was anointed. You can't be the one who's called. And there are going to be some people around you who say that. There are going to be some people around you who look at you and look at your outside and figure, God hadn't called a woman to do that. No, God hadn't called somebody your age to do that. No, but the devil is a liar. The Bible says in Joel 2:20 that he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters, male and female. So if God called you to do something, you definitely have to know, okay, I'm dealing with something right now, but I still have to do what it is that God called me to do. Whenever I come out of this situation, you know, I'm still focused on God. I'm still praising God. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do every day. Don't let those obstacles hinder you, because David also had obstacles. Know that when you're called and when there's a work for you to do, it's going to cost you something. That's why you're dealing with this setback in the first place. There is a cost for the anointing that is on your life. There is a cost for the anointing that's on my life. In order for grapes to be used for wine, they have to be crushed, stomped. In order to get the olive oil out of the olive, you have to crush it. It has to be mutilated all the way down to be able to get the skin, the oil out of the skin of the olive. You have to go through some things to be able to be used by God. Why is that? Because if not, every time a little wind comes along, you're going to fall over. You're going to fall out. Somebody say something to you wrong. Oh, I'm quitting. I ain't teaching no more. Oh, I'm quitting. I ain't giving no more. Oh, I'm quitting. I ain't coming to church no more. I'm mad. They looked at me wrong. God can't use you like that. So that means that he has to build you up. Some of you have gone through some legal situations that landed you in jail. But even in the midst of being in jail, I know that God will still able to use you in that situation. Not saying that what happened or the reason that you were in jail may or may not have been justified. It's not my place to decide that. But you have to know that even in the midst of a terrible situation like that, God can and will still use you. He will still lift you up. He'll still be right there with you. And I know that I have some listeners who have testified to that and have told me that personally. While I was in there doing my time, God still blessed me. While I was in there doing my time, God still blessed my family. While I was in there doing my time, God called me to do this, that, or the other. You still have to know, no matter where you are, no matter what type of valley you're in, no matter what type of race you are personally running, you're not by yourself, and God can still use you, and he wants to still use you. Just think about it. Now, mind you that David ended up having to face a giant after he had just got through facing a lion and a bear. Kill the lion, kill the bear. Now, here it is that he's got to come up on a giant. And I'm sure that some of you are thinking, that's kind of how I feel. You know, I just got through with dealing with this one thing. Now I'm having to deal with something else. I just got through going through that. Lord have mercy. Now I got to deal with this. And sometimes it bombards you all at one time. You know, that's probably the kind of week I had this week. A lot of things came up all at one time, but God. One thing that's for sure is it's not going to stop me. You know, when you have to deal with health issues and financial issues or things with your children or spouse or whatever, all at one time, dealing with stuff on the job, you know, you may even be dealing with something in church. But God doesn't want you to stop what you're supposed to be doing just because of that. And I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about what I know. As I sit here right now, looking through one good eye. And like I said, the other one is healed in Jesus' name. There was a process. I still went through the surgery. But God's business has to go on. The anointing of God is still on my life. So I have to know that, okay, it doesn't stop anything. Just because I'm dealing with something, the people of God still need to get this word. Because there will always be obstacles, but will you always stand strong in them? There's always going to be something that you have to deal with. Because as long as you're in this world, I mean, we are enemies of the world. As a saint, you are not of this world, but you're in it. So because of that, you know, you may have to do some things different. You're going to have to deal with some situations. But the objective is for you to still do what thus saith the Lord. I do see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Who do we have on the line today?
This is Carrie from Preston, Mississippi.
Amen.
I just called you. I love your topic today. I just call and tell you that I know what you're talking about when you say a comeback from a setback. Mm-hmm. All winter long, I have been dealing, well, for the last 3 years, I've been dealing with problem with my leg and barely mm-hmm. walking, always in pain, and mm-hmm. it didn't feel like doing anything. So I just made up my mind. The scriptures say, by his stripe, we are healed. Not
That's
we
right.
will be healed. We are mm-hmm. healed.
That's
and
right.
I start standing on that worry. And mm-hmm. the 23rd Psalm, I have a clipping of that. I mm-hmm. keep it in my den. When you said, go to your Bible for the 23rd Psalm, I memorized that. I told my son one day, I memorized it, you know, all the time. And sometimes I just quote it to myself because mm-hmm. he is my shepherd. But what
That's
I wanted
right.
you to know, I have a testimony that I was in my choir stand, and usually choir members in this associate pastor always come and help me down up the steps. So mm-hmm. one Sunday, my pastor say, Sister Stennis say, I believe you better. Said, Minister Forrest came to help you down, and you was gone. And so I've been working in my yard, and I've been walking today. I picked my sister-in-law up. We went to pick up a few things. And mm-hmm. I stopped back. I said, do you see me walking? Do you see me walking? I used to be praying and looking at other people. Lord, I just want to walk like that again.
Mm-hmm.
I just walk like that. Then I realized, everybody, every time I go somewhere, somebody's hopping, got a stick, and they usually be by themselves. And so I got in my yard, and I started doing work, and I found myself walking all up my driveway, and I just been claiming the healing. I told my pastor, I have my victory. I have my victory. And so he was like, praise the Lord. And everybody just like, I said, this is one thing the devil was telling me. That, you know, you got to be walking like this. I refuse to get in a wheelchair and sit down. I have mm-hmm. a walker, but I refuse to use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was saying to myself, I've had 8 surgeries, and God brought mm-hmm. me through. I know he a healer. Mm-hmm. I know
right.
I've been knowing he a healer since 1969. I know
all
he
right.
a healer. But then I was like letting the devil tell me I have to be walking like this. I can't do anything. But
mm-hmm.
sister, I want to let you know. I have my healing. I claim it.
Amen.
And I claim it. And I want to tell you, a comeback from a setback, I've been through many.
All
I've
right.
been through many. You know, I lost my husband 3 years ago, and we've mm-hmm. married 56 years. I've been through a lot of comebacks from
mm-hmm.
a setback. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was saying, why am I doubting now? Because God
mm-hmm.
has never failed me yet. And
that's
I know
right.
the scripture say, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
That's
so
right.
look, I'm in a different I'm in a different
that's
category right.
right
now.
That's right.
And I wanted you to know that. And I'm
going
to say, I'm going to get off the phone, maybe another caller calling in. And I praise God for you because your topic is right on time. If they're always on time. And if
Amen.
We keep them in our mind and, you know, dwell on them, we can
mm-hmm.
walk in God's way.
That's right.
Good day.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Amen.
Bye.
Amen. Thank God for our caller today, you know, calling in. That's Sister Carrie Stennis, and she calls in often to be an encouragement, and she listens, you know, on a regular basis. But I thank God for her healing on today, you know, and that's what we need, you know. Sometimes we just need encouraging and reminding, you know, that God is a healer. You know, sometimes we stop, like she said, and look at some other situations and look at, you know, wow, you know, other people are able to do this, that, and the other. But she had to remind herself, okay, God, I've been knowing you, and you've been dealing with me since 1969. I've been knowing that you a healer. So we thank God for our caller on today, just to encourage our hearts. Amen. Sister Stennis, you keep walking in your healing. Praise God for you. Amen. If anybody else wants to call in, again, that number is 888-627-6008. Again, it's 888-627-6008. And I know that there are several others of you who are listening that do have a testimony. So feel free to call in and share with us in regards to how the Lord has blessed you or how the Lord has healed you or how you have personally come back from a setback. You know, I talk about my comeback often. You know, I had to start over a couple of times after my divorce, you know, but I have to say that, you know, God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to keep his promises. I have two children graduating in the month of May, you know, one from law school and one from high school. And I talk about them often, but I just thank God because it could have gone another way. It could have gone another way. You know, after divorce, a lot of times, a lot of families don't do well. But if you're listening on today and you have gone through a divorce or you've had to start over, you know, I know that there are some single mothers who also listen to my ministry. And I want to remind you and I want to tell you, you might not see it now, you know, but those same little children who are running around you now, who are probably interrupting you while you're trying to listen, I want to tell you that God blessed you with those children for a reason. There is a gift in each one of them. There's a gift in each one of those children, and God will be faithful. Be faithful to him. He's going to be faithful to you. God's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of those kids, whether it's a better job, whatever the situation might be, whether you just need him to touch your body. You know, some of you are believing God for your Boaz. You know, make sure that you're ready for Boaz. Make sure that you got those kids together for Boaz, because Boaz don't want to show up and you got little kids running around there doing all kind of stuff and not behaving. That might make him a little nervous, you know. So be sure that you've got yourself together for Boaz, but know that God is faithful with or without a man. Know that God will still bless you. My brothers, with or without a wife, if God has not sent your Esther or your Ruth right now, make sure that you're ready, but know that God is still going to bless you with or without that other person. Just be aware. God is going to make sure that you're ready first before he sends them. So be aware as you're coming back from your setback. Be aware. God is able and he's faithful. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we need to keep our armor on. And that's something that we have to remember while we're going through. God doesn't expect us to do all the work. The battle is already his. But because of this process that we're going through, or this situation that we may be dealing with, you keep your armor on. You keep on the armor of God. That's found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it to you. But what I do want you to understand is that there is no armor for your back. So this is no time to be running back or going back or trying to turn tail and run, as they say. Again, you're already a victor. God has already made you a victor. You've already got this. You've already won. It's a fixed fight. But what you can't do is turn around and run. There's no cover for your back. You can't turn around and run. And some people say, oh, yeah, well, God's got my back. Yeah, he does. But this isn't a time to be running. Yeah, he's got you covered always. But you have to believe and you have to know that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't be wavering. Don't turn back. Don't give up now. You don't want to put your hands to the gospel plow and then let go. What we need to do is raise our expectations. Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21, lets us know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can even think about, more than we can ask about. And some of us ask for a whole lot of things. But think about a woman who is expecting a child. She prepares herself for that manifestation. She feels that there's going to be a change. She feels when it's time to get ready. She'll start cleaning. She'll start shopping and buying things. She'll start changing her habits. She'll start making room. She starts talking like she's expecting a blessing from the Lord. She starts talking like she's expecting a delivery. She starts talking like she's expecting something to be birthed through her. And that's what we have to do. If you're expecting to make a comeback from your setback, you ought to look like it. You ought to act like it. You ought to be making preparation for your blessing. We have to remember, just stay on the path. Don't worry about what it looks like or what it feels like. Know that this bundle of joy that you have down on the inside of you will soon be birthed, but you need to be ready. You need to make those preparations. Know that there is only one way to come back from your setback. I don't care how many get-rich schemes and all this other quick stuff that folks be talking about. You know, I'm not trying to go to the casino and get nothing. I want you to know that the one way is Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth and he's the light. There are some people that do get rich from playing the lottery and going to the casino. Personally, God ain't told me to do that. That's not the way that he's shown me. Know that everything that you do has to be about Jesus. He is the only way. John 14 and 6. You can't do it on your own. Know that it's not about you. But know that Jesus is the way. He's the answer. What you have to do is make a plan and make sure that you work your plan. There are going to be some sacrifices that you have to make. Like I said, you might need to stop spending so much. You might need to stop hanging out so much. It's costly to be out there. Because a lot of us, you know, got to go buy a new outfit and get hair and nails and all this other stuff done first. We're spending a whole lot of money. Then you're out there eating and buying chicken wings and all this stuff when you could just be at home eating what you already have. It's costly to be out there. Save your money and put it in the kingdom. There's going to be some work that you have to do. Faith without works is dead. If you're trying to make a comeback, you definitely have to do some things different. You can't just sit at home. Sister Carrie called in and said she's out there working in her garden. She out shopping. She's doing all kind of things. Because not only did she believe that God had healed her, but she put it into action. She was like, I'm getting out here too. I'm not fixing to walk around on my walker. You all heard her testimony. But there are some things that you need to do. If God has told you to start a business, there may be some research you need to do. You may need to start networking and working with some other people who are in that business. Now don't go get ungodly counsel. You know, Psalms 1 talks about getting counsel from the ungodly. That's not what we want to do. But you're going to get some counsel from godly counsel. Keep that vision before you. Keep reminders in front of you. Whatever it is that he told you to do, he's definitely going to bring it to pass. Know that it takes courage to make a comeback. Joshua 1:9, Joshua was told to be strong. Be courageous. And know that God is with you. Whatever it is that you're doing, know that he's with you. Just like we read in Psalm number 23, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going anywhere. It's us that get off track and get off the path and start going off to do other things. Start trying to try things our way. But you just be faithful and remember what it is that God has told you to do. No matter what it looks like and no matter what it feels like, you just be faithful to God. Remember when Noah was building the ark, it wasn't rain in sight. But he knew that God had told him to do something. And I'm sure people thought he was crazy. Years went by. But it takes courage to stand alone and just be faithful to God. People may look at you and laugh at you. They may think that you're crazy. You're talking about you're going to start a business and right now you're bankrupt. I got it. I get it. I understand all of that. But what did God say do? They may call you crazy. But we'll see who's laughing at the end. When you laughing all the way to the bank, because God will take you from a bankruptcy to going all the way to the bank. They'll be coming to borrow from you. Those same people that laughed at you. Know that you heard God, and just like Noah, just keep hammering. Just keep working. Let them talk. Don't be dismayed by what they're saying. Know that he is God. Know that he will uphold you in his right hand. And if you're taking notes also, you can jot that down. The scriptures about Noah starts at, I believe it's the 5th chapter, the 32nd verse, but the 6th chapter starts in detail talking about the instructions that God gave to Noah. And remember that Noah was a faithful man. Noah was a man that did everything that God had commanded, but he still had to deal with something. There was still work to be done in order for him to get from one phase and one stage to another. Because God had spoken to him and all he knew was what God had told him to do. The other thing that we have to do when we're coming back from setbacks is learn from your mistakes. God will give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding, but you ask him. Ask him for the wisdom and understanding. Don't just, you know, go back and do the exact same foolish things that you did before when God was in the process of teaching you and showing you some things before. You've dealt with something similar, and now you're right back out there doing the same foolish stuff, hanging with the same old people. You can't do that. Perhaps if your setback is divorce. Okay, so if you were married before and it didn't work when you were running in the streets and always hanging out with your friends and always working late and not spending time with your spouse, and you might not have been communicating well. So you have to know. You have to change those habits. If God showed you that that was your issue before, then you don't go into a new relationship doing that exact same stuff. I know no two people are alike, but if there's something that God showed you and there's something that you were supposed to learn from, if he showed it to you, it was for a reason. He'll show you exactly where you are. He'll show you exactly what error you made. And if you want him to bless you again, then you know, okay, I can't be hanging out like that. Learn from whatever mistakes you made. Then you have to learn to just let it go. Don't keep beating yourself over the wrong that you did or the mistake that you made. Celebrate your successes. You can't move forward and still have one foot in the past where you're stuck on, okay, I messed up. Okay, I did this. I shouldn't have done that. Oh my God. Okay, repent and move on. Ask God to forgive you. If you've affected some other people, repent and ask them to forgive you. But move on. You're trying to make a comeback. You've made some mistakes before. Just don't make them again. Regroup. Recalculate. Start over. You didn't handle your budget correctly this month. Now, next month, you're going to have to go clip some coupons and do some other things. Like I said, you may have to stay in the house. You may have to stop spending. You may have to buy generic brands in the grocery store and buy some fresh food instead of all that quick, frozen, easy stuff that you stick in the microwave. Whatever it is, God will give you the wisdom that you need, but just move forth. Just do whatever it is that he's shown you. And know that there's no way to return from a comeback. Remember this, you cannot return from a comeback without Jesus. You can't do this without him. Get your mind together. Put on the mind of Christ. Don't let your emotions or the time that it may take you to accomplish your goals deplete you of your joy. Don't let it deplete you of your peace. But know that you need Jesus through this process. If you're holding anybody's hand, it needs to be his. Remember that the enemy is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. But Jesus came so that you might have life and that more abundantly. You're not here just to exist. You're not here just to say, oh, well, you know, this is it. I guess that's life. No, look in the mirror and remember who you are. Look in the mirror and remember whose you are. Who do you belong to? You belong to God. When you start to feel down, you offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. When the enemy comes at you and attacks you, remind him who you are. Devil, I got a future. You don't. Your future is in hell. Begin to thank God for what he's already done. Begin to thank God for where you already are in this process. And thank God for where he's taken you. Surround yourself with people and with things that are an encouragement, and they're on the path to your destiny. Don't encourage yourself with them same old folks who are in a similar situation and they're not trying to get anywhere. That's not who you need to be hanging around. Don't let your desperation dictate to you who your friends need to be and what you need to surround yourself with. When you do things and you're desperate, you're in a desperate situation, you're going to have the wrong friends. You're going to be keeping the wrong company. And the Bible talks about the company of fools in Proverbs 13 and 20. In the company of fools, you're going to suffer some harm. So I'm not fixing to hang out with a bunch of fools if I'm trying to get somewhere. And you don't need to hang out with a bunch of fools. Check your friends. Check your surroundings. Check the places where you're going and hanging out. When you're trying to get somewhere and God is blessing you, you have to remember to watch the company that you keep. Watch the words that the people are saying around you. If you're feeling unfulfilled, then you fill that space with Jesus. If you're feeling lonely, you're starting to feel like you're going to be distracted, you fill that space with Jesus. Even if you go and look in the Beatitudes, we call them, the sermon where Jesus preached in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Remember that when you have space to be filled, when you have an emptiness, the Bible says that God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. He'll fill you up. Let him fill you. Don't let the world fill you up. Because that's what you're going to be full of, foolishness. But when you have an emptiness, you go to God and let him fill their space. You pray, you worship, you praise. Even if you have to begin to sing songs, apply word to that emptiness. When you're trying to come back from a setback, you focus on God. You can and you will come back from your setback. And when you do, not if you do, but when you do, begin to speak faith. When you come back from your setback, you remember to always give God all the praise, honor, and glory. It's all about him in the first place. It was never about you. You know you couldn't have done this by yourself. You had no clue. You would have lost your mind. But this comeback is for the glory of God. I am a living witness. If God can do it for a little country girl from Highway 14 in Macon, Mississippi, running around barefooted. I used to be outside, y'all, not just making mud pies. I was making cakes, donuts. I had all the products aligned in a tin pan. But I want you to know, if God can do it for me, he can certainly do it for you. The God that I serve is faithful. The God that I serve is able. As I sit here right now, telling you about the goodness of Jesus, and this morning was not even able to see clearly. I know God is a healer. I know God is a deliverer. I know what he's done for me, and he can certainly do it for you. Now we've come to the end of our show. I pray that this show has been a blessing to you on today. If you're looking for a good church home and you're in the Jackson, Mississippi area, stop by the Word Full Gospel Church at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive in Jackson, Mississippi. If you want to donate to Eve's Corner and or Campbell Ministries Incorporated, you can send that to P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 29236. Or you can simply go to my website, www.bbsradio.com/Eve's Corner, and click on the donate button. You guys have, it's been a blessing. It's been a pleasure to share with you on today. I pray that you are blessed. God bless you is my prayer. Amen.